Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey everyone, this is the most reverend Father Spoon coming at you from shouldidrinkthat.com, where even if it's crap, we drink it so you don't have to. Today we're at Beer on the Bay in beautiful Erie, Pennsylvania, and with me, since Sick Puppy is out trying to save the world one beer at a time, is a very, very special guest. Special guest?
I've been told I'm special.
Please introduce yourself.
I'm Uncle Crappy, longtime friend of the show. I think I've actually been on it once, twice.
We've had you on a couple times,
yeah,
I think, at different beer fests.
Yes. Yes.
Which you can hear us at right now with all the music playing and the people talking and drinking and having a good time.
It's kind of, we weren't sure where we were going to be able to set up, but I think this has worked out pretty well. We're sort of behind the stage they set up. You'll be able to hear that all day, I'm sure. And we're right in front of 1, 2, 3 homebrewing clubs. And that's going to work out pretty well for us.
Now we've got Erie, Pittsburgh, and Meadville represented up here to our left. And then over to the right are the beer tents. So this actually is probably the best, you're right, the best spot for us because we get to see the lay of the land.
We are right in the middle of everything.
Now, unlike previous years, they decided to change up the layout for the land. Right now, they have the main stage, which used to house the bands, is now the VIP section. So if you pay an extra, I think, $15, you get VIP tickets. Mm-hmm. And they have a nice selection of rare beers from the breweries that are here, and then also some bottles are up there, too. I know Orvel was one of the big ones that people were talking about already for being up there. And then they have all the brewers under one tent, whereas last year it was in a horseshoe that was going around the park.
Which, just kind of around the field?
Yeah.
In front of the stage over there?
Which was on top of the hill, so you would have this big open field between the stage and where everyone was at. The thing with that, though, is you had a big open field.
Right.
So there's all this unused space. So it looks like they were able to get more brewers in here. They have more vendors here this year, absolutely. More sponsors in here, which is very cool. So,
I think the tweet I saw this morning, 33 brewers here this year?
Could be. I'm sure there's a few more that were added to the list that we have with us right now. Mm-hmm. And currently it's overcast and it's still very sticky.
The breeze is nice. Doug promised me a breeze off the bay, and that's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, we are right off the bay in Erie, Pennsylvania. Directly across from us, across the bay, is Presque Isle, if you're trying to get an overhead Google Map view of everything. We can kind of see Perry's Monument from here if you look through a tent with your X-ray vision. But it's definitely a very cool setting. It's supposed to clear up a little bit later today. Temperatures are going to be in the 90s. Plenty of cold beer to drink, and Uncle Crappy, what's the first one you have in your hand?
I got a Saison from the Three Rivers Home Brewing Club. Outstanding. Nice little spicy, musty. Oh, it's a perfect way to start.
So the one I'm drinking right now is their Hop Stew.
Hop Stew, excuse me.
Mmm. Oh, God, that's... The aroma is... you're getting hops right up your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which is actually kind of nice. I like that, being a big IPA fan. And then, there you go. It's getting the malt to settle on the palate there.
Nice.
So it's got like hoppy on the top, malt on the bottom. It's like the perfect piece of candy. So the description for it, this is 8%. It's 73.2 IBUs. Yeah, dear God. It's a little high. But I like it because it's supposed to be. It's an IPA. Come on.
Yeah.
The proverbial kitchen sink of hop additions to this IPA with numerous varieties used both during the boil and the fermentation. Nice. A good hop presence in both taste and aroma, but it's not meant to be overly bitter, which it's not. That's why I'm thinking it. The malt is just excellent with toning down the bitterness. Slightly stronger alcohol than a typical IPA. It usually skirts the low end range of being called a double or an imperial. Imperial. There we go. So we'll dub it an IPA and a half. Two room malt, crystal fours. Wow, holy Jesus. Okay, so here's the hops that he's using in this.
Okay.
This is why I love homebrews, because you're probably not going to find this out of most mass commercial ones. Simcoe, Glacier, Centennial, Vanguard, Hallertau, Crystal, Northern Brewer, and Cascade.
Nine? Did I count nine?
Oh, wait, I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
Simcoe, Amarillo, Faulkner's Flight.
I have less count. I have no idea.
I missed that last part there because it truncated. Wow. No, it's. I definitely dig this one. I didn't catch who made this beer out of the group, but we'll try to find out for you. This was made by Troop.
Yes.
This is a Pittsburgh's home brewing club. We've had Shane from Troop has been on the show before. Are they busting out Doobie Brothers here? I'm missing it. They're starting early, though.
I can't tell, yeah.
There are two sessions that happen here. The first one's 12 to 3. Second one is 4 to 7.
Correct.
So you've got 3 hours of craft beer deliciousness going on up here on the bay.
This is going to be fun. I want to try the mead that that Matt over at the Three Rivers Club had.
That mead looked. Well, that sounded good, at least from the description I saw up there. All right, let's work on these things, and let's go try out some mead.
Yes, sir.
So we figured what better way to get this beer fest really rocking than to have some mead.
Right off the bat.
Because if you're going to do it, you might as well just start it out right.
Absolutely.
We snagged Matt Falinski as the owner of Laurel Highlands Meadery in Greensburg. We got a taste of it. He brought some mead along for the Three Rivers Club. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. Nice day out. Beautiful, warm, hot, sweaty. Getting closer to the microphone.
There you go.
There we go. I think I've got it.
Normally, we don't want you to like get right down on the microphone, but we have to battle with the band in front of us. So we want to make sure everyone can hear you.
All right, we can do that.
I get to start by telling us what we're drinking.
Yeah. What we have here is a Boucher mead, which is a caramelized honey. Uh-huh. It's about 11% alcohol, give or take a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was made with clover honey. Forget the yeast. And or actually, maybe I don't want to mention what yeast. And water. So no fruits, no extra sugars.
Just
no,
honey, yeast, and water.
Honey, yeast, and water.
All you need. You said this was about 3 months old?
This is only 3 months old, so...
What will more time do for this?
More time will make it mellower, a little bit smoother. Right now, a couple people said there's a little bit of an alcohol aroma to it, and hopefully that will fade slightly in the next couple months.
It is really nice right now. The color is gorgeous. That's the first thing you notice. Nice, rich, not overly sweet. Really digging.
And one of the things, a lot of people think mead is supposed to be dripping, sweet, pure honey.
Mm-hmm.
There's meads every direction of the sweetness scale there, mm-hmm. from absolute bone dry to so sweet it tastes like you're drinking honey.
Okay. We're going to get to taste some more of yours sometime here soon, right?
Yes, definitely. Right now, I have... The first batch of our traditional mead has been bottled, and since we're very small, we don't have a tasting room yet.
Mm-hmm.
That hopefully will be rectified within the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're talking with a few restaurants in the Greensburg, Pennsylvania area.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll be able to get in there and just keep growing from that. Mead is just something that I think is at a point where it's going to definitely take off. Craft brew wasn't really popular 25 years
right.
ago, so I think mead is at that point too, where there's a lot of wine drinkers, a lot of craft beer drinkers that are willing to try something a little bit different. People have heard of it in different books, Beowulf or Harry Potter, so... And
Harry Potter loved his mead.
Yes, he did.
That might be a great selling point for it, actually.
Could definitely do that. Yeah, the Harry Potter and insert newest movie here.
I don't even
Deadly
know.
Hollows 4,
Deadly
maybe
Hollows 4,
maybe.
Yeah, 4 or 5,
something,
yeah.
Something like that. So what is it that finally makes you say, I'm going to make a kick-ass mead? I'm not thinking about any other beers that are out there, because mead isn't something that we normally hear about a lot. as something that people want to brew because they want to get really adventurous with the craft beers. You've made a great mead here.
And Thank you.
You said it's only a few simple ingredients, too. You know, how do you perfect that, and how did you get into it?
Oh, I think one of the big things is people have always thought mead takes years and years to, you know, make, ferment, to age out. And, I mean, this one's only 3 months old, and it seems to be pretty decent to me. It's, you know, management of the fermentation is probably the most important, you know, part of the whole mead-making process. You know, aging definitely adds to it. If you're, you know, aging on oak barrels, you know, that can definitely help. But, you know, if you can take care of the fermentation process, you know, that's it.
Do you have a website for everyone to go to? Check it out?
I do. It's laurelhighlandsmeadery.com, or a simpler one is lhmead.com. That's lhmead.com. Like I was saying just right now, I think that mead is kind of, you know, up and coming, so hopefully this is something that, you know, some people here will definitely try. Maybe never tried it before and enjoy it.
Well, I think a beer fest like this is a great venue for people to try these things, because a lot of people that are trying to get into more craft beers and expand their palates just to see what's out there, this is the excellent venue to say, you know, mead is technically craft beer. This is the place to go find out about it.
Oh, definitely. And that's a lot of people that I've talked to have said, you know, you don't want to go to, you know, a pure, like, wine bar. You'd want to go more towards the craft brewers. They're more adventurous. You know, they're willing to try, you know, anything. I've told a couple of people here I will do things, you know, like the caramelized honey, blackberry chocolate. But when it comes to, you know, sweet potato, mango, pickle, you know, that I won't do those.
Pickle mead.
Yeah, pickle mead.
We could try that.
Actually, there have been people that have made, you know, hot pepper mead. I've tried. You know, it's been
that might not be bad. I'm skeptical about pickle mead.
Hot pepper. Pickle. It's funny you mentioned that too, because I just I had some Cave Creek chili beer for the first time the other night. Did not end well. So any thoughts of hot peppers or anything hot in a beverage right now is not appealing to me. In fact, I think I had like half a sip and then I actually poured it. I couldn't do it. That's rough.
That would be a bit much. Although I find that I'm warmed up a little bit.
We're warmed up and it's 90 degrees outside right now.
Yeah, definitely the Bochet will warm you up. It can be enjoyed warm, cold, you name it. So it's always good.
Now that brings up actually a good question. What is the perfect temperature for mead, or is it just a personal preference?
It's personal preference. Everybody says, oh, cellar temperature, you know, 50 degrees, 54 degrees. It all depends. I've seen people put ice cubes in it and have it warm. Probably, you know, 55 would be what I would serve it at.
Okay.
Want it to be a little bit warmer, too, then.
Room temperature.
Yeah, to, you know, let the aromatics off a little bit easier.
Okay.
Very cool. Thanks a lot, Matt, for stopping over.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Great stuff, Matt.
We're definitely going to be over a couple more times to sample your mead. We have a long day in front of us, and I think we have a lot more mead in front of us, too, today.
I think so.
That sounds good to me.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have something very special right now. It's what I like to call a Beer on the Bay love story. That's the best way to put it. A lot of you guys know from listening to our show over the years, there's a certain gentleman named the Beer God. And if you listen to our show up at the Big Tap-In, he was going to get married. Well, guess what? Yesterday he did. So how's he spending his first day of being married? He's at a beer fest with us. What better way to celebrate, I say. So now is the Mrs. title officially the Beer Goddess? Is that what I have to see the Mrs. Beer God.
Mrs. Beer God.
Okay, I want to make sure I had the name right on the shirt. These are awesome. They had custom-made shirts, too, guys.
No. Mrs. Beer God made them herself.
Get out.
I made them. A couple of his favorite beers.
These are...
So which beers are on here?
Favorite beers. Let's see how good your eyes are. Come on.
Oh, there we go.
Well, let's see. The left boob would be... It looks like Skull. Was it Scalise?
Scaldis,
yeah. I can't see that. I can't see that one. Which
is that's a little horny devil right there.
Ooh, the horny
Then we got the brewery Almagong.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate.
And then you can't mess up any of the voodoo labels.
Right, Grand Met and a little Winona's.
Oh, West Mall, definitely a good choice. We've got the that's the Dogfish.
The Bitches Brew.
Yeah, the one that was on their show.
Yeah.
The Bitches Brew. And I can't see what that one is.
It's tiny.
By Weyerbacher.
Oh, Weyerbacher's tiny. Yes. Nice. Yeah.
Can you go wrong with any of these beers?
No. You can't.
That is
especially the West Mall, too. That's just a fantastic beer.
That is why I am the beer god.
I guess if you would have a top 10, that's your top 10 list of beers?
You know, if you're really that into beers, you can't pick your top 10. It's impossible.
Does it change with seasons?
Yes.
So what's in your glass right now?
This is the only woman I'm allowed to have an affair with. I've been told this many times already. This is the Raging Bitch.
Nice. And how is the Raging Bitch treating you today?
Ooh.
Because it's hot out.
Yes, and I'm loving her. I'm absolutely loving her.
And Mrs. Beer God, what are you consuming today? Looks very light.
It is
refreshing.
Very light. I'm actually drinking another one of Flying Dog's beers. It's the Hefeweizen.
Nice. Good selection. So, how did the wedding go? How was everything yesterday?
Perfect. It was absolutely beautiful. It was a great day. A lot of family, a lot of friends, and a lot of love.
What did you toast with?
Oh, actually, we had someone who actually home brewed a beer for us. We toasted with something that was about 9.5 that he actually tabbed it, the Wedding Bliss Ale.
Nice. 9.5.
9.5.
And did he make enough that you could, did he bottle it too so that you could have some left over for later, or?
Unfortunately not, but we have spoken with him about brewing another batch.
Perfect. So was this available in kegs, sixtals?
Sixtal.
And you had this available for everybody that went to
absolutely.
The reception.
Absolutely.
Now, see, this is what's great. So not only did you have a kick-ass wedding outside, I'm assuming the weather was nice because we weren't up in here yesterday.
The weather was like this yesterday, so it was very nice. And we were right on the other side of the lake. We were over there at the public dock, and it was a public wedding. So we were outside for that, and we were outside for the reception. And again, beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Down here on the...
Beautiful husband over there.
Beautiful husband.
And a beautiful wife.
Oh. And beautiful beer.
Ooh, beautiful beer.
Tasty beer.
Absolutely. Ooh. Oh, and the food, outstanding. And I got to put a plug in.
Go for it.
We had food prepared for us from Calamari's on State Street. Also from the Blue Canoe. And people raved about what they prepared for us.
Really?
Absolutely.
Do we know their websites by chance? I have no idea what their websites are. I think it's bluecanoe.com and Calamari Skid Row,
right?
I believe is theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll have links for this on the shouldidrinkthat.com website. Don't worry about that. We'll get these guys hooked up with that.
And you should definitely go to both places because you can definitely find good food and good drink.
So now that you're married, is there plans for like a huge beer cellar? Do you have a beer cellar in your house, or have you talked about whether or not you're gonna get one? Because when I got married, that was part of the deal, like part of the vows that we had, is I would finally be able to have my beer cellar. And it's been almost 6 years now, and I still haven't gotten it.
Well, we don't have a beer cellar, but we do have a beer closet that holds a lot of beer, and we have a special beer. We have a special beer refrigerator. So,
everyone has to have a beer fridge, though.
Yeah.
That's the only way to make a really great marriage work, is to have a beer fridge.
Well, he definitely has the fridge and the closet. we're working on the cellar. Now, he does have a collection of bottles, so that is in the cellar. I don't know if that counts. Baby, does that count? Oh, I'm sorry. They can't see your face right now. And I really wish that you could see his face right now. Too bad this is strictly radio.
Wow. She just threw me under the train, not the bus. She just threw me under the train.
But baby, I love you.
Well, she actually forced me to or she actually did it herself. This is what a wonderful woman she is. She stacked all my bottles on shelves. She said, go buy shelves. I'm stacking these bottles. I'm tired of them just sitting in these boxes. And we calculate that there's somewhere between 500 and 600 different bottles sitting in the basement right now. Yes. I save one bottle from every beer that I try.
Wow. Yeah.
Again.
So see, that's impressive.
That takes the title of beer god to a whole nother level.
I don't know anybody that saves their bottles, unless there's actually beer in them.
Well, we have those too. We have those too. Those bottles, baby, I love you. Those bottles that are aging. So
I like how you have to add that part onto there. Baby, I love you.
I do.
And if you come home someday and I recycle all of them, don't worry about it. But that just means you have to drink more.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but see, that could be a plus there.
Well, but how about if we keep the bottles and I still drink more anyway?
That's the great thing about marriage is you have plenty of time together to talk about stuff like
this. We can compromise.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So what are you looking forward to in the second session?
Well,
are there any breweries here that you were really looking to try out that you haven't had before? Or?
I think I've had everyone, but I'll still enjoy them. That's for sure. We haven't made it to Trogues, and she really loves the Troganator, so I'm hoping they have it here.
We haven't seen it yet, but hopefully they do have the drinking horn. That's always been like a rare thing to see, and Erie seems to be one of the only places that ever brings it out. We haven't been there yet, but always look out for the drinking horn, which is this big-ass ceramic horn that you can drink Troganator out of.
Oh.
And if you see it, you buy it on the spot because they rarely have those in stock.
And I think I might be there.
See?
Trogues, if you're listening, we just made a sale for you. I only charge 10% on that.
And it's worth it.
So give me my cut. It looks like there's a lot of great breweries here today. Uncle Crappy, what was the... was it the Walk of Shame? Is the one that we've been waiting to give a try? From Blue Canoe apparently has the Walk of Shame beer. And the worst beer here. Those are the names. So we're going to have – people have been coming over saying, you have to go try the worst beer here. I'm like, well, what is it? They're like, the worst beer here. That turns into that joke. I'm like, seriously, what's the name of it? They're like, that is the name, the worst beer here. So
okay.
At some point, we have to go over to Blue Canoe because they have the worst beer here.
Well, I will walk over there shortly.
And the Walk of Shame is the other one, which I think is great.
If I have to do the Walk of Shame for beer, so be it.
So be it.
I am the beer god.
The beer god has spoken. So be it. Guys, thanks for stopping over. It's been a pleasure. Congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to these guys for a while now. And
yeah.
It warms the cockles of my heart.
Just a question. Where the hell are the cockles of the heart anyway? Does anyone know this?
Do I look like a cardiac specialist?
I thought maybe you were a cardiologist.
Maybe it's in the subcockle area. Maybe the liver. Maybe the kidneys. You just never know.
Absolutely.
God bless you, Dennis Leary. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we kind of teased to this earlier that we were going to be talking to Terry because we were drinking his beers, his delicious beers that he had with him today. And Terry, tell us a little bit about yourself and the unique business that you have, too.
Well, the business I have is to help homebrewers with equipment, corny kegs, anything that would go with corny kegs, such as tap systems. If you have an old refrigerator and you wanted to convert it over to a kegerator, I sell them everything that they need to do that with.
So how did you get in this business? Like, what made you say one day, you know what, I got this great idea for a business?
Well, I got in this business to make enough money to cover the cost of my brewing supplies. Now, I don't have enough time to brew because I'm making sure everybody else has brewing supplies.
Funny how that happens now.
Yes,
it is.
It's
a weird twist of fate.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
You did manage to brew some for today?
Yes, I did. I brewed a Saison that I have here. I also have, for later on, I have a barley wine and a oak barrel stout that we brewed. It's about a year and a half old.
We had a taste of that one. You're going to tell us when the barley wine's ready, right?
Yes, I will.
do you do a lot of shows like this? I know the club does.
I do probably 2 to 3 a year. I used to do the one at the zoo, but I don't know if they have that anymore. And then I do our own brewing fest that we have, Brewing Up a Cure.
Okay. What do you like about coming out of these things?
You know, it's nice to talk to people and have people taste your beer and really appreciate good beer. A lot of the festivals that you go to, all they want is a cold beer, something with alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's been very nice because these people really appreciate good beer, and they seem to appreciate the effort that you put forth in brewing the beer.
The thing I always tell people when they come to a festival like this is to look for the homebrewer's table or the homebrewer's booth, because a lot of times the best beer at the show, that's where it is.
You know, sometimes I agree with that. There's been people here today that has told us, you know, our beers are better or as good as anything that you can buy. I guess that's part of it.
The other cool thing with it, too, is they realize that everyday people can do homebrewing. You know, all it takes is a little guidance from one other person, you know, and a kit, and you too can brew your own beer.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a full-blown operation, you know, like some of these breweries. You can do it at home with just, you know, your kitchen stove, some water, and a pot.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think that's why they like to have home brewers here, because they can go taste a commercial beer and really enjoy it, and then come over to our table and drink the same thing almost and say, wow, you know, I can do this myself. And the commercial beer, the brewers, I think they like us too for that same reason.
You're sharing a tent with one or two other homebrewing clubs. What have from the other groups have you tried that you like?
They have an IPA. I actually went over and I told them I was going to trade them one of our decals for their best beer. And they all pointed me to the same beer, which was an IPA, which was very good.
Okay. Okay.
I agreed it was their best beer.
Okay.
Now, is this your first trip to Erie for the Spear Fest?
Yeah, this is the first time I've been here at the Spear Fest, and I got to tell you, I will come back next year. It's a very nice event, very well laid out, very well planned. It's just nice.
I was waiting for the band to kick there a little bit. Because I knew as soon as we stopped, they were going to stop too. I think they seem to be on the same beat as us.
Uh-huh.
So who did you bring with you to pour?
I brought my wife, Patty, my lovely wife, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
She loves talking about our brewing. She doesn't like to brew, but she does like to talk about it and explains it. She explains it very well. You know, you'd think she did it every day. But she is one of the reasons that I got into the kegging business, because I started kegging when she quit helping me wash bottles.
that's a good plan right there.
And to be honest, she's the one who got us into the keg business.
Mm-hmm.
She went to a class in Cleveland. There was a place that had some kegs. I went over and I bought a bunch. I took them home, and one of your friends, Shane Tarek, went up with me the next weekend, and we bought 100 more, and it just snowballed from there.
So where can people find you on the internet if they want to find out more about your business?
It's very easy. It's www.kegelbrewing.com. The kegel comes from converting a keg into a kettle, hence the word kegel.
As always, links will be provided on the shouldidrinkthat.com website, so you'll be able to get to it easily. We don't want you to get on your phone and start hitting the address.
Not a bad idea.
No, that's not a good thing to do.
That's pretty bad. So we will provide these links for you, and also on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/shouldidrinkthat. We got way too many URLs out there. Wow. Well, Terry, thank you very much for stopping over.
Thank you.
Love the beer.
Thanks.
And in fact, I'm about to head over there and get another sample. Another sample to review. And I have to say, so it's like we've been saying all through the show, it's about 180 degrees out here, and we're in the shade. And your beer so far, beers have been perfect to just kind of cool us out. They're not very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of chill, sit back, enjoy the bay, enjoy the music, enjoy the company.
And we bring them to you.
That helps, too.
Thank you. Glad you enjoy them.
All right. Thanks a lot. We're bringing to you a very unique guest here. I promised him an interview about a year and a half ago, and then I never came back to Erie.
You're a slacker.
I am a slacker. I'm a total slacker. And since then, everyone in Pittsburgh is talking about his beer. So now I really feel like a schmo because I never went back up to Erie for this.
I'm going to remember this.
It'll be on the internet at some point. You'll have a permanent record.
So super secret guest host. Guest. Oh, as my screen's flipping around. Please introduce yourself and your brewery.
My name is Jason Lavery. I own Lavery Brewing Company out of Erie, Pennsylvania.
And for the folks in Pittsburgh, you will if you haven't heard that name yet, you will. You will surely.
We've just sent our first couple of pallets to Pittsburgh the past 4 weeks ago, so it's still making its way around to different retail outlets.
That's about right. I had my first taste at Bocktown probably 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So okay. We got another pallet coming down next week, so we got some new beer on it as well.
The three that I had back then, and along with the one I had today, there's a farmhouse, a black ale, and a red. Take us through those real quick.
Sure. Well, our flagship beer is Imperial Red Ale. It's a really hoppy IPA, basically. Mm-hmm. So we call it Imperial Amber. I don't know how much details you want, but you know, two row Munich, two types of crystals. It was built around the Amarillo hop, basically.
Okay.
And then in March, all of a sudden, the Amarillo hop became unavailable to us for the next 2 years.
Hello.
So we've been messing around with a blend of Centennial Cascade and Nugget, Centennial Cascade and Citra, Centennial Cascade and Northern Brewer, a whole bunch of different blends. And we finally found a home for it, which is the Centennial Cascade and Nugget blend. So that's that kind of beer. It's 8.5%. It's real dry. All our beers are real dry. We don't make a sweet malty beer in the whole lineup. It's definitely malt forward, it's definitely hop forward, but it has a nice malty balance to it. So that's our beer. That's our flagship beer. That's the beer that's most around in Erie.
Yep.
We do bottles and draft. And then the Belfast Black was our winter spring seasonal. It's a smoked porter with the Bamberg smoked malt.
And no screwing around smoked porter.
The
smoky flavor is fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, we like it a lot. It's actually a really small percentage of the malt bill. It's like 15% of the malt bill is smoked malt.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's real small. So I think the smoke is more in the aroma than it is in the taste. But that's how I like it. So, and then the Leopard Or, which is Gold Leopard in Irish. It's our French Saison. We use the French Saison yeast. It was a history experiment. We used, we wanted to kind of think about what a brewer would have brewed 100 years ago in northern France. I was a history major, my undergrad. So,
nice. Okay. And now you're making beer.
Yeah, exactly. So it has two types of Belgian and German Pilsner, Vienna malt, wheat, rye, oats, and corn. And then it has locally grown Cascade hops from here in Erie County. And then we used a blended strain of French Saison yeast and two White Lab Belgian strains.
Okay.
And then we bottled it with Brettanomyces clausini. So the more it ages, the more it gets like kind of a fruity, tart, sour age to it. So it's a really authentic Saison. Those are the three that are down there now. We just released that Imperial French Ale yesterday, actually. It's bottled in 1 liter.
That was the swing top you showed me.
Yeah. All our beers are in 22-ounce bottles, and we just released this one yesterday. Twice a year, we do 1 liter flip-top bottles. We call this beer Imperial French Ale because of the French Saison yeast, but it's 11.5%, and it's hopped like an American double IPA with Columbus, Centennial, Cascade, and Chinook. So that's our latest offering down there.
All of my favorite hops.
Yeah, right.
That's great.
Yeah.
We'll see some of that in Pittsburgh soon.
Yeah, we just released it yesterday. So, you know, it takes a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks to make it through its little ways that it has to go down there and things like that. So
how's it coming with the brewery?
Yeah, the brewery's great. We've been brewing out of the Brew Erie, which is a local brew pub, for the past year and a half. And we moved into our own brewery in March. So all the tanks are erected, all the floors are poured, the drains and all that kind of good stuff. The building doesn't have a big enough gas line, so the funny joke in itself. But 4 weeks ago, National Fuel was laying a new gas line down. They said 4 to 6 week wait, and it's been 4 weeks. So we're hoping in the next 2 weeks we can have the new gas line and we fire up the boilers and start brewing batches right then. So. Hopefully 2 weeks, but knowing the state, probably 4 or 6 weeks. So. End of the summer.
Yeah, so that could be 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. That's been the whole history of the brewery.
So where is the new brewery located at?
It's 128 West 12th Street, so it's 12th and Sass, right in Midtown in Erie. So, if you want descriptors, it's Hungry Howie's downtown. We're in the same building as them. We're in the whole back loading dock area of their building.
So you're literally like a block away from the Brew Erie then?
Two blocks.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
We can see each other's buildings. So, and Erie Brewing is like 5 blocks down the road. So.
No, wait. So just trying to remember how downtown area is. So it's, you said you're by the Hungry Howie's. Wasn't that an old fire station?
Yeah, we're next door to that. It was actually an old plumbing supply warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a nice, obviously the brewery space is not really set up for like a brew pub or anything like that, but we are going to have like a small tasting room that's part of the warehouse. But we have this really awesome brewery courtyard that we just fenced in yesterday. So we do plan on having like growler hours, tours, tastings, bands playing and things like that. We're going to have barbecue at every single tour and growler hour. So you come and if you buy a growler, you get like a hot dog or a hamburger or whatever we're grilling, you know.
Oh,
so,
that works. Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that's what kind of we're all about. You know? Very, community-oriented, event-centered brewery, you know. I mean, we like the aspect that we're not like a brew pub where everybody's coming to us and then that's all you can find us, but we like the aspect that we can make beer, sell beer all across the state of Pennsylvania, but then still be like a center for people to come and enjoy our beer there. And you know, and then the difficulties of the law that we can't sell pints and things like that, but we'll make it another way. You buy a growler, you get a hamburger, a hot dog, whatever you want, enjoy a band, things like that. So
now is there any concern with the fact that you started with the brewery? Chris and those guys, Chris and Gary and everyone up there, yeah, they got you started, and now you're two blocks away.
Yeah.
And brewery's known for having great bashes and parties and, you know, having people in it taste. Is there any kind of conflict with, you know, being that close to where they say, hey, great, you know, there's another brewery in Erie, let's do this, let's do something with it?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, Chris and the Erie Brewing guys have been great mentors to us, and you know, like everybody just kind of pictures it as like a big pie, and the pie's getting bigger, and everybody can have their own slice, and you know, we're not really cutting out anybody's slice, and if God forbid we ever start taking business away from Chris, I'm sure that would be a very, you know, dull conversation. And
it's kind of bittersweet.
We'd resolve it, you know. I mean, but we have really two different like demographics of people we're trying to reach. You know, we're like the beer geeks brewery. You know, we make big bottles, crazy beers. I mean, they're not crazy, but we make beers that aren't like, we don't make a blonde ale, a pale ale, a brown ale. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff. And you know, and we don't have like a big restaurant and food and all that kind of stuff. So we have the people try to, we want people to seek us out, you know, and they're coming for the crazy one-off beers and the beers that we do and the tasting room only beers and the growler hours, you know. And obviously we'll have like punk rock bands and Irish bands and all the kind of cool bands that we like to listen to there as well. So,
oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So with the whole craft beer thing going on, I mean, do you think the brewery and Erie Brewing sees this as, you know what, this is another person that's getting craft beer out there, because it's still not huge in Erie.
Yeah.
You still have your Bud Coors Miller drinkers, which is, that's always going to dominate the market because you can get 25-cent draft nights with that. But, I mean, I think with having you and, you know, if other breweries pop up, that just helps drive the business overall because people will get more exposure to great craft beer and want to try more for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've taken a pride in mentoring new breweries. We got to go to San Francisco in March for the Craft Brewers Conference, and we learned the statistic that there's 1,700 breweries in America right now, and there's 600 in planning. So like the next, I mean, we're not even to like the brink of where it's going.
Right.
So it's, and to take like a defense stance and saying like, oh, this is our territory, we can't have any more breweries stepping on our toes, I think it's just stupid. So we've taken the point of, you know, I've given out our numbers, our very like intimate numbers of like what we've spent so far to brand new fledgling breweries, and being like, you know, learn from my mistakes and like do what you can, and more the merrier, and you know, we'll be great together and things like that.
Well, there's 70 some breweries in Pennsylvania as it is. I mean,
yeah.
We've got plenty of room in Western Pennsylvania, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
It seems like everyone's over in Philadelphia and Wilkes-Barre and, you know, the Scranton area and everything. And it's, I believe on our side of the state, we only have about 12 or 15 of them.
Yeah. And what we were called is an alternating proprietorship, you know, where the premises alternate between two breweries. That's where we were at the Brew Erie, and we're going to set up our license that way so we can have breweries come into our place and rent our fermenters.
Nice.
But we're going to have a different situation from them. We use one of their fermenters. We're going to need somebody to come in and have their own fermenter because we just don't have the extra fermenters to lease out. But I've really been trying to recruit lambic breweries. I'm like, that'd be great to have a nice, authentic lambic brewery.
Wow.
And, you know, because it'd be low startup. They could age their beers for like 2 years, and then all of a sudden open their own brewery, and they have all this beer stockpiled ready to release. So we're recruiting and things like that.
Oh,
so
that'd be nice.
Anything that's innovative, you know, I think is great for the brewing industry.
Since it is cold up here so often, I mean, it's one thing that always surprised me is there's not really any lagers that come out of Erie.
Yeah.
Because it's usually you have to have the, you know, the cold caves and everything, but it's, but let's face it, Erie's cold like 8 months out of the year. It's very cold, so it's I guess it surprised me that, but as long as the winter months are in Erie, that there aren't more people brewing lagers around here.
Yeah, I kind of think that might be like one of the ways of the future, like lager craft breweries, which are starting to pop up here and there around the country. But as for us, we're not really interested in lagers. I mean, I really enjoy like, you know, Victory Prima Pills and, you know, Penn's lagers and things like that. But as far as brewing them, I brewed them at home, and, you know, they're fun to enjoy, but that just doesn't really go with, like, what I wanted our brewery to mean and represent and things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So, but, yeah, lagers are delicious, you know. I wish more craft breweries would do it.
You mentioned making lagers at home, and as we mentioned before, we're set up right next to the home brewer's booth here. The folks who are from the Erie Club, the Hazard Club, seem to be pretty proud of you. Everyone has seemed to mention,
yes,
he was part of our club. Tell me about your homebrewing roots, what these guys have done, and what that meant for you when you get started with your own brewery.
Sure, yeah. Well, I started out obviously as a home brewer, as I think any really great professional brewer starts as. And then I got really into it, obviously, and I started teaching classes at the local homebrew class. The proprietor asked me to start teaching homebrew classes. I started getting a whole bunch of, I taught like 8 classes, got a whole bunch of people interested in starting a club, and kind of had this name for a club in my head, Hazard Homebrewers. Stands for Homebrewers and Zymergis Alcohol Research Division. And I accumulated
I'm amazed you can remember that.
Yeah, I accumulated like 20 members that really wanted to start this club, but between starting a brewery and working full-time and having 3 kids and all that, I never really got to focus on the homebrew club. And then a couple years later, Don Meyer from the Hazard Group decided he wanted to start a homebrew club, and I said, you should really use this name. So he used the name. The first meeting was at my house last May in 2010. We had a great time. Everybody just brought beer and we drank it, and then they become like a mission-oriented almost homebrew club where they you know, they go to different breweries to brew, and they have different tastings and different beer styles, and they're all about entering competitions to win awards and things like that. So yeah, it's a great club. And my business partner Jason Lynch, he had the meeting at his house a few months ago. So yeah, I mean, it's thick as thieves.
Now here's what I want to know. Myself being a father of 2, how do you get the wife on board for something like this?
Yeah, well, my wife, like the whole history of the brewery is my wife actually got me into craft beer. I was a big tap drinker in college. Yeah, so she was a big, one of her first craft beer experiences was Burp Castle in Manhattan, which is a big Belgian beer bar downtown in Soho. So she took me to Burp Castle when I was like 21, maybe 21 and a half, and she was interested.
Because, of course, you were of legal drinking age.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's a really cool atmosphere. I don't know if the bar is still in existence, but the waiters are dressed in robes, and they walk around and shush you if you talk too loud. That's the first place I ever had Chimay and Orval and all those kinds of different beers.
Oh, that's great.
So I came back home, kept drinking Pabst, started noticing it tastes like shit, went to Yingling, you know, and then I really got into all the different craft beers, so that was my little jumping stone.
Now, you're still relatively young, too, for the whole craft beer experience.
Yeah, 29. So...
living the dream.
Get off my lawn.
No, but so yeah, my wife was definitely the originator of the craft beer idea. And the history of our brewery was that she wanted to move to Ireland. She applied for a job in Ireland in Limerick. And the day that she found out she didn't get the job in Ireland was the day that I won an award for one of my smoked porter, my Belfast Black. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, fuck it. If we can move our whole family to Ireland, we can start a craft brewery. And that was February 2009. And that was the beginning of the craft. I went to business classes.
That's actually I had no idea. Some reasoning as I've ever heard.
Yeah. I had no idea your beer was the Belfast Black. I have heard of that beer. Chris at Brewery was telling me about the Belfast Black. I had no idea that was your beer.
Yeah, that was ours. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, this is amazing.
So, that's the whole history. Synopsis.
So what's next? What do you got on tap?
Well, the Imperial
French Ale. No pun intended, of course.
Yeah. Well, we got the Imperial French Ale I told you guys about. Obviously, we're brewing Pumpkin Ale next week because that comes out earlier and earlier every year.
Oh, that drives us nuts.
Yeah, me too. But we got to do it. Last year, we brewed it with all locally grown Erie County pumpkins, and this year we had to supplement the pumpkins with some canned pumpkins just so we could get out early enough. So we have a few batches of that planned, but we're brewing that next week. And then we do a beer for Christmas called Devil Bird. Obviously, I'll go backtrack. We got the Stingy Jack, which is our pumpkin ale. Stingy Jack, which is pumpkin ale. Some pretty ladies singing in the microphone. sorry.
It had
Stingy
to be just
Jack.
This is part of doing a live show.
Yeah. Stingy Jack will be out, and then we got our Belfast Black out, and then in our winter we do a Christmas beer called Devil Bird, which is like an Irish legend, carrying a dead wren through the streets of Ireland after Christmas, because there was a wren that wrecked a Viking attack of Ireland. They come out, it's like our second 1 liter beers, but we decided to change the beer style every year. So last year was like a spiced brown ale, and this year it's either going to be a golden barley wine
nice.
Or a vanilla oak bourbon porter.
So that sounds good.
So that's like coming up soon.
Having fun today?
Oh, I'm having a blast, man. I don't ever have a bad time. You guys? It's always a great time.
All right, so to wrap up really quick, where can everyone find you online?
Lavery Brewing.com.
Facebook, Twitter, anything like that?
Facebook, yeah, Lavery Brewing. And my email is jlavery@laverybrewing.com.
All right, we'll have links for all this on the shouldidrinkthat.com website and absolutely on our Facebook site, facebook.com/shouldidrinkthat. Easy to remember.
Sure.
Very cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Keep up the good work.
Hey, you keep making the good beers, we keep making the good shows.
There you go.
So, Uncle Crappy, yes, we're wrapping up Beer on the Bay here.
Oh, my God. We've been here for like 3 days.
We've got one final guest.
Yes, we do.
A surprise guest.
Yeah.
As of, a minute ago? 2 minutes ago?
That'll do.
Who are you?
Well, I am with Lavery Brewing Company, and we are new in Erie, about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You just talked with Jason.
Yes,
so
we did.
I'm here supporting them and supporting every brewery here.
What is your position within the brewery?
Well, I actually kind of help with the accounting, not a nerd, I promise, and help with the consultant, so I haven't done so much. They pay me in beer. It works out.
That's not a bad gig.
Yeah, it's
that is
good
a great
gig.
Payment plan.
Yeah, well, could I have it any other way?
So, minus the beer that you guys have, what has been your favorite beer here today?
Coming from a local, I would think, from the local standpoint, Voodoo, Sprague's, and Lavery. They come on top every single time.
Okay.
I'll definitely okay. see that. So, were you here for both sessions today, or were you just here for the last one?
Today I was only here for the second. So,
what do you think of the crowd so far? Actually, as we're wrapping up here and everyone's leaving,
right? I'm pretty impressed. I think that the local, a lot of people love beer. Amen. Right?
I definitely cannot complain about that. There's definitely a lot of beer lovers that are out here right now. So, what do you see coming down the line for Lavery? We talked to Jason.
Right.
He told us everything that he sees. Because he's the brewer.
Right.
What do you see?
Well, I see big things. I think that the brewing company with the new, we just bought our new place. So I think that it's going to be big. I think that's going to be awesome. It's going to be showy. It's going to be fun. And I think that with the crowd that shows up for things like this, I think that there's going to be a lot of takers. You know, we're a lot of places in Erie. And I think that a lot of people keep loving us. The more people I see, the more people who say, you know, I've heard of your beer, I really like your beer. So I think that it's gonna go good.
Now, we had Becky on earlier from Erie Brewing.
Right.
Everyone seems to know Becky around
Everyone
here.
Everyone knows Becky.
She's a name that's synonymous with craft beer in Erie.
Hey, she knows what's up.
How do you guys get into craft beer? Because we heard that the missus, who is off mic right now,
right,
was the
right.
first one to actually get Jason.
Hell yeah. Let's just,
from the PBR life.
Yeah. She did us well.
And she seems kind of red right now, so we're gonna turn it back to you.
Okay, I will completely explain this one.
How did you get into craft beer? Because it is mostly a male dominated field. It's we're not gonna lie. There's a lot of guys that do the craft beer. There's a surge of women that are getting into craft beer. Why is that? Not that I'm knocking you for it. Cause
no.
I think it's fantastic.
Hey.
I think if you got a good palate, drink craft beer.
Amen. Hey, women love beer, too, and I'm one that definitely does, and our family grew up that way. So, the way we grew up, Nikki, she bought Jason a home brewing kit, and you know what? He hit it off. Jason just hit it off. He knew exactly what to do when he ended up coming around to it, and we all loved it. So,
we appreciate that, too, because
amen.
He's made great
amen.
Beers.
Jason does make some great beers.
And it's worked out pretty well for the rest of us.
Yes. Yeah, amen to the women. All right, but needless to say, it actually started with our brother. So our brother started the brewing, and Nikki brought Jason the homebrew kit.
Now, what was the homebrew kit? Was it Mr. Beer? Or was it like Northern Brewing, like the actual bucket and...
Hey, it was a beer kit, and you know what? It worked out right. Because he ended up making some great beers.
So what was your first favorite craft beer?
Well, this is what ended up happening with me. I am the youngest of the four of the Oleskis, married now my sister into the Lavery family. And he kept bringing over the kegs for all the Christmases and Thanksgivings. Let's just try this out. Let's just try out. And he would try it out until it was a perfect beer. My favorite beer right now is the Leopard Oil, and
we've heard a lot about that one today.
It is fantastic. It is fantastic. I don't know. It is a great beer. And
so, where do you see women in craft beer going?
Well, that's an awesome thing that we are bringing up in Erie through the Lavery Brewing Company. We are hoping to open a Barley's Angels Erie chapter.
What?
Yes. So
Barley's Angels. Oh, yes. You have to elaborate a little bit more on this.
All right, to elaborate a little farther, it is a women's brewing. Women who are into craft beers, into brewing, into what we are into. And
is this a national chain type thing?
It is. You know, just as in, you know, if you're opening a fraternity or sorority, it's like women are into this craft beer. It is. It's going to be awesome. I think that in Erie, there are lots of women who want to be in this kind of organization, brewing together. You know, we all are with the guys who love beer. Guess what? So do we. So
that could be fun.
Yeah,
it could be good.
We had talked before about how you can't see what we're talking about, but the smile on my face right now about the fact that so much craft beer is coming out of Erie
right.
makes me extremely happy. So... just to wrap up really quick, because the police are getting ready to kick all of our butts out of here. What's your favorite style of beer? If you could brew one style of beer right now, what's it going
to
be?
All right, well, this is tough to admit, but right now I'm pretty into the Trogs Wheat Beer.
The Dreamweaver?
Yes, the Dreamweaver is my go-to, and I will admit that I pretty much love that beer right now.
Okay.
That's an excellent choice, too. Well, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate the time. And, you know, it's always refreshing, especially when there's another beer prop right in front of our face. but to hear that more women are getting into craft beer, that's what we want to see, because it is actually a family event.
Yep.
It's a family thing. It's men and women can get into craft beer, and you guys can make great products out of it, too.
Yes, we can.
It's, especially since we found out that Jason was inspired by his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. I think that is so badass.
Thank you. She is badass.
I could just tell from sitting here. I'm not standing. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been here for 7 hours. I'm not standing. That is badass.
Hey. It's the Oleski family.
Is that a gene that you know?
Oh, it's a gene. We pretty much kick ass from the get go. So we are hot beer drinking women. Amen.
And that is how we're going to wrap up Beer on the Bay 2011. Wow. That was, wow. Yeah. A fantastic way to stop it.
Oh, man.
So, Uncle Crappy, I think it was a very successful day. Everyone's heading out right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
The police are getting ready to haul our asses out as soon as Mrs. Crappy gets here with the Crappy Mobile. And then it's off to dinner and whatever else we can find around here.
Absolutely.
So, overall feelings today, what do you think?
It's a spectacular show. I know we've bitched about the heat a lot, but it's part of the deal.
I do have more appreciation for the homebrewing clubs around the area.
Absolutely. From Pittsburgh to Erie and Meadville in between, we had some probably the best stuff we had. Came from the booth that's right in front of us.
Absolutely. I love these guys now. And when I finally get to brew my own beer, I'm definitely going to be looking at Troub, the Three Rivers Underground Brewers, because it's a family over there. And it's, you know what, the Erie guys, you know, welcomed them with open arms, and that's the fan, you know, the fun thing about craft beers.
Yep.
So, favorite beer? Do you have one, or is it just there's just so many great beers today?
I didn't have anything bad.
The mead, I can't.
The mead is fantastic.
Mets, and hopefully that's going to work out well for him business wise, and we'll see that stuff in Pittsburgh sometime soon.
And that plane, it just went over us. We're getting dive bombed.
Wow.
I think that's the sign to wrap it up.
I think so. What about you?
I absolutely love the mead. The Laver beers were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, yeah, it's the same thing. I didn't have any bad beers. I do have to say that Southern Tier had mocha on tap here.
Yes, they did.
So, Claire, you missed out. It was delicious.
Fresh from the tap.
And I did get to talk to Tony from Vicini for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a new brewery that is coming into Pittsburgh. It's coming out of Brooklyn, not Brooklyn Brewery.
Pretty there.
I believe it was Six Point.
I believe so.
And he's going to have more information on that coming up soon, so be on the lookout for that. But, hey, we're signing out from Erie. For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the most reverend Father Spoon.
I am Uncle Crappy.
And not Sick Puppy. Where, even if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to. We'll see you later.
Through my first double horns of the day.